Our new partner to the show. It's a film from the people behind Sound of Freedom and The Chosen, and it's called After Death. It's a deep dive into different people's experiences, near-death experiences. It's by Angel Studios, and this new film looks at the ultimate mystery of what happens from the perspective of individuals. It's based around their own personal experiences, and it looks at the realm beyond. It uses these first-person accounts, but it also incorporates a lot of scientific knowledge to give a really insightful picture of what life could possibly be like in the next realm. It's rated PG-13, and it features a whole host of experts in science, philosophy, and medicine, and each bring their own unique insight into the phenomenon of the near-death experience. And so you can find a theater near you and purchase tickets online at angel.com/Dana, and it's in theaters. It's going to be in theaters, and you can also do the you pay it forward, where you can provide free tickets for others to see the film as well. And you can access all of that at angel.com/Dana. Or if you're, you know, the price of a ticket, something that's keeping you from going, you should go again to the website, because you can get a free ticket there. So leave your preconceptions at the door and prepare for a never before seen glimpse into what the next life could entail in After Death in theaters now. To get your tickets today or pay it forward, visit angel.com/Dana. That's angel.com/Dana. After Death, the end is only the beginning, rated PG-13.
You guys don't talk about extremists all the time. It is usually about MAGA extremists. So what about these protesters who are making Jewish students feel unsafe on college campuses? Are they extremists?
I've been very, very clear. We are calling out any form of hate. Any form of hate. It is not acceptable. It should not be acceptable here. And we are going to continue to call that out. And let me be very clear. This is a president that has continued to have that fight in his office, in this administration. You know, when he repealed Trump's Muslim ban on his first day in office, that is something that this president did. He also established an inter-policy committee to counter Islamophobia, anti-Semitism, and related forms of bias and discrimination. We have taken this very, very, very seriously, from the president all the way on down.
Have you? Because I feel like you're only just now kind of taking it seriously, simply because it's a big deal now. Like, you know, I mean, and it's only because you've been in trouble and you've been, you know, et cetera. Now, welcome to the program. Dana Lash here with you. And you can listen to the radio show coast to coast. You can watch the simulcast as well. Do you know how hard it is to give yourself bangs when you don't have them? When you like fake bangs. So good to be with you. Top of this first hour, and I have a lot to touch on as we roll throughout the program. So first up, you heard some of that discussion there with Corinne Jean-Pierre, who was asked a question by Ducey, P. Ducey, who was saying, well, you know, what's going on with all of this stuff? This, you know, this whole situation with the raging anti-Semitism on college campuses, absolutely everywhere. And they said that they're establishing this, what is it, like a commission? What are they establishing? I don't exactly know what they're establishing. Does anybody know? What are they? It's like a commission or something for all the leftists that they've indoctrinated to hate Jewish people? Because that's what it is. I got to tell you, we're going to get into the aid, the Israel aid bill that Biden's threatened to veto and all of this stuff. So yesterday, we heard from a friend of ours whose daughter has a best friend who's going to, the University of Wisconsin-Madison. And the friend's best friend had told her that she shared this text with her, and she said that she's terrified. She's incredibly nervous, and she's been scared because she's going to school, and she was outside of their Jewish center, where it's like the campus organization where they have activities, and it's a worship area. And there were pro-Hamas protesters that were outside, and they weren't just demonstrating in favor of Hamas. They were actually demonstrating against Jewish people. There's and for Hamas also. It was really wild. Like the videos and that she had and that she had been sharing were pretty unbelievable. And people were yelling through megaphones, and they were saying things I can't even say on air. Like one of the things that they were shouting is no good Jew, like a dead Jew or something like that, and screaming blank the Jews and from the river to the sea, etc. You can't tell. That's not about freedom. That's about annihilation. And she said that the cops were called and they had to escort her and a bunch of other Jewish students into the building. And another friend who has a child at University of Michigan was saying something very, very similar, that they had been nervous and they felt unsafe on campus because of this because of all of this. You know, I actually told my friend, who I said, is this going to like maybe tell you not to vote, you know, for your party anymore because they're Democrats? I said, are you not going to maybe be a Democrat anymore? Because look what your party's done. Look what they fostered on these campuses. And I'm not joking. That's true. I mean, if you can't be honest with yourself about where this originated, then we have a conversation about you living in reality, in addition to the anti-Semitism that's on the left. And so the situation with this, it's like it's getting worse. I mean, even in the Hamptons, I was reading this other headline where they said that in the Hamptons, food trucks were defaced with swastikas. They said that there was German language graffiti calling for all Jews to die. It was left at the Naturally Good store and cafe in Montauk. They said another swastika was painted on a food truck. They said there's more rising anti-Semitism in New York City. One of the reasons why you know, people on the right are like pointing out to some of the stuff on the left and saying it looks a little anti-Semitic is because it is. Like the stuff that we've seen over the years coming up from the left. There's some crazy stuff happening here. And I'm looking at all of this. It looks, in the Hamptons, doing this stuff in the Hamptons. Oh, you know what? Weren't those the same people that ran out all the immigrants that came in illegally from across the border?
Like within hours.
Yeah, they had the National Guard there. They wanted the National Guard to come out because that's what I thought. Okay. It was just the same people. Yeah, right? Same people. Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah, that makes sense. I'm just saying, I mean, they have like a ton of different pictures that hit the internet on that. So I don't know. I mean, the whole thing, pretty unbelievable in the Hamptons, but it's everywhere. It's absolutely everywhere. No, there's no area where you don't see it, apparently. Like college campuses, everywhere. It's incredibly, I had another friend tell me that they were speaking on a college campus coming up, and they were saying that they actually had to work out security. They never really had to do that before. Over the past 30 years, though, this has been the group that has, as I explained yesterday, has seen more and more of, you know, whether it's, you know, hate crimes or whatever it is, more and more of this stuff across the country just in the past 30 years. And yet the administration's like, we're going to create a task force for Muslims. We're going to create a task force for this, task force for that. They're not interested in social justice anymore. I don't know if you follow me on social media, if you've been following me, I guess it's on X now. I can't say Twitter. I mean, I can, but it's just not really Twitter anymore. I just have no patience anymore. I don't know if you've noticed. I have none. I feel like some of the people that I've been seeing with some of this narrative, I feel like they should be ridiculed out of the public square. And fortunately, that is a service which I'm really, really good at. Like everybody has a particular set of skills, right? And one of my skills is that I will ridicule a bigot out of existence. I just feel like that I just can't have any, I cannot have any I don't have any empathy for where Hamas stands. I have no courtesy for Hamas stands. I have nothing, no nothing. I'm just done with it. I actually tweeted or posted on X yesterday one of the texts that my friend's their daughter had sent over. That's how crazy it is. Or I love these arguments that I see from some of these other people. where they say maybe Israel should stop committing ongoing war crimes and restore electricity. Look, I don't care what, even if you don't know anything what's going on with Israel, even which I don't know how you exist in this world and not know that. Here's something you have to realize. This has been an ongoing erosion of the right of self-defense for a long time, because it's even more than that. It's about the right of self-defense. Like I said yesterday, if your neighbor breaks into your home and rapes your wife and beheads your kids and burns down your house and you respond in self-defense, you now are the bad guy, according to all of these single brain-celled Hamas apologists. I mean, you apparently are the bad guy. I had a listener say, yeah, and then retreat to the shed. The guy retreats to the shed in your backyard and you're supposed to get him water and snacks and an extension cord so he can watch Netflix while he plans how to get past your defenses to finish you off as well. Hamas logic. It's true. It's absolutely true. But my electricity. You know what? Maybe they should have done that instead of build tunnels and do everything else that they were doing, instead of doing terrorist activities. Maybe they should have built tunnels. Maybe they should have, or not built tunnels, they should have built better infrastructure for sewage, water, etc. Tired of it. I was reading that they said that the ground underneath residents, this was in one part, like northern Gaza, they said after some of the airstrikes that had taken place, they said that the ground around them began to collapse with massive sinkholes, entire structural frames of apartment buildings. And that is what happens, ladies and gentlemen, when you're Hamas and you build tunnels underground under residential areas. Those are the tunnels that are collapsing. Those are the tunnels that are collapsing. That's what that is. So we're going to follow and bring you all of the latest, including some of the stupid hot takes with it. And we also have some of the latest, again, with Democrats as well. 50,000 borrowers are getting what they call, I don't know how this is forgiveness, loan forgiveness notices this week. The Education Department is penalizing, they're penalizing one lender for what they say are gross servicing failures. So they're getting another bailout. And then the administration is arguing that if there's no Ukrainian aid in the Israeli aid bill, that it's going to, that Biden is going to reject it. He's going to reject it. Thoughts? Anybody got thoughts? I don't know. I'm telling you. So we're going to touch on all of this. We also have a whole bunch of culture stuff that we're going to get into. And if you are watching, see, one of the reasons why you should check out the simulcast of the nationally syndicated radio shows, because I wear a costume every Halloween. Although, honestly, if I'm being real, I would make this my day-to-day wear if it was completely, you know, people wouldn't look at me weird. Like, if I can't roll up to church like this, right? I mean, I could, you know, probably, I mean, I could, and nobody at church would think of it. It'd be like, it's Dana. But you can check out, I know you can check all that out. So as we get rolling, because we got a lot to hit, we got headlines coming up as well. Headrest safe. This is like your Christmas gift issue. If you have an issue with getting anybody anything for Christmas, like the person who has it all, I guarantee you they don't have this. So it is very innovative. The headrest safe, it's a one of a kind in vehicle safe. They designed it to be invisible to the uninitiated. So if you don't know what you're looking for, you're never going to find it. It is secure and concealed. It's a secure and concealed sanctuary for your valuables and your firearms. Now, I'm one of those people, I'm like, oh, I'm not going to keep my gun in my car. But like, what if you go to a game? What if you're going to, you know, say you're going to go watch somebody's, you know, kid dance in a recital, or you're going to go to a football game or whatever it is. You can't bring your gun in. What are you going to do with it? You don't want to be without it, especially if you're going anywhere after or before. So here's where the headrest safe comes into play. You can get to your items in just 2.5 seconds. It has a magnetic access door and a user-friendly biometric fingerprint reader. And you can sit here and tell yourself that, oh yeah, I would know which. No, you wouldn't. I guarantee you're not going to know which one. You're not going to know where it is, because it's designed to blend in seamlessly with your car's interior. So they matched my husband's car interior. I'm not going to tell you too much about it because I don't want you to know. It's like, why don't I just give you the number to my alarm system too in my house, the code for that. But it blends in seamlessly. They can match virtually every bit of interior you can think of. Their options come in cloth, and then they have a pleather match for like over 80% of the cars sold in the U.S. And this is, it installs very securely, locks into your seat, to prevent unauthorized removal. It's passenger headrest. So it's the passenger side headrest. There's only one headrest safe, total invisibility, multi-layer security, and you get guaranteed peace of mind because it's backed by 100% money-back guarantee as well. I think that this is a great system, and I highly, highly recommend it to keep your stuff safe. And it's not going nowhere. It locks into place. You got a deployable toggle bolt. This is not going to get taken out of your car. Headrest Safe caters to anybody seeking secure and accessible in-vehicle storage. You can see this innovation yourself at theheadrestsafe.com. Use code Dana for an exclusive $50 off. Theheadrestsafe.com, code Dana for $50 off. The Headrest Safe, transforming the way we protect our valuables in vehicles with a 100% money-back guarantee.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
I'm going to keep this thing. I figured out, well, let me talk about it on a break. Let me give you the headlines first. Okay, so the Treasury is going to borrow $776 billion in the final 3 months of the year. And why, can I just say, Janet Yellen is like literally a Lord of the Rings character.
Dude, looks like it, yeah.
Dude, she looks like she's a Bagginses. She's a member of the Baggins family. Like, she's going to come out, you know? I mean, I'm just saying. So CNBC has the story. They say that it's an announcement that came yesterday afternoon. The Treasury Department is looking to borrow more money. Yay, debt! Yay! They said they actually want it. Wait, you thought that $776 billion was it? No. It's actually going to be about $816 billion between January and March. They said it's 10 days after the government said that the fiscal 2023 budget deficit is going to be about $1.7 trillion. Yeah, $1.7 trillion. Don't you feel so good about? I'm so glad that we're all responsible with our money so the government doesn't have to be. Yay. McDonald's revenue soars, but it's hiking its prices. Gosh, who could have saw that coming? Who could have thought that that was going to happen in Biden inflation? Who thought? They said that it's 14%. But they said that it's driven by the strategic menu price increases. They brought in a total of $6.69 billion for the three-month period ending in September. But they said that, you know, the Big Mac combo is $13.69. But that's at the McDonald's in Times Square, though. Everything in Times Square is like that. Don't ever, if you're ever in New York, never go to Times Square for anything. Unless you love being accosted by like street hustlers. You love the smell of urine and pretzels. You just love total crowds and you have no idea if there's a terrorist or anybody in there. And you just like all hell, miserable, miserable, miserable hell. Then go to Times Square. That's for you. And if you want to eat at crappy chain restaurants that are overpriced with horrible service where you're going to have to wait for 3 hours for a cold piece of meat, by all means, go to Times Square and eat there. That's great for you. You know, I'm just saying, that's great for you. You'll love it. Let's see. Listen to this. This is great. Krispy Kreme they drop on worries that Ozempic is going to hit the donut demand. Really? It's that bad where people are now saying it's going to be donuts. That they said that it's the weight loss drug because it's a drug for everything. They say that investors are worried about stock. That just means, Kane, it's more donuts for you and I. Right. So that means don't they have Halloween donuts?
Yes, they do.
You know, I can have them delivered.
Okay.
I just realized that right now. How am I just now realizing this? Just like me and all my friends were like realizing stuff. We believe in the Krispy Kreme model, said some business guy who I don't care about. Let's see. Also, I just like the donuts. Best states for off-grid living. Texas is number two. So who's number one? So they said Texas is number two. They said that's all about climate, land availability, regulations, natural resources. Alabama's number one. Bama is number one. Stick with us. We got more in store. Our partners who help bring you free radio, the folks over at Hillsdale College. Hillsdale is a great academic institution. It's a small Christian classical liberal arts college in southern Michigan, and they're all about the pursuit of truth and defense of liberty. And they are founded to offer the kind of education to preserve civil and religious liberties. And they have a short video where you can learn how they approach this work and how effective it is in helping people defend American liberty, not just on its Michigan and D.C. campuses, but also across the nation. And you can watch it at Dana4HillsDale.com. And they get into exactly what it is that they do with their mission, how their policy of focusing on merit and character is really that's what it all should be about. It's not supposed to be about identity politics and Marxist CRT. To learn more about the mission of Hillsdale College, visit Dana4HillsDale.com. That's Dana4HillsDale.com. Hillsdale College, developing minds, improving hearts.
Have you been thinking about your home as an investment this whole time? If it's just another bill for you, do it the right way. If you've been stressed about paying back the massive loan you took out for it, it's not certain you'll sell it for more than what you paid for it. Don't become mortgage poor. Check out the Watchdog on Wall Street podcast on Apple, Spotify, wherever you get your podcast.
Looking for the drive-through version of The Dana Show? Check out the best highlights from every show and Dana's Absurd Truth podcast, posted daily from The Dana Show.
It is very important that there be no conflation between Hamas and the Palestinians. The Palestinians deserve equal measures of safety and security, self-determination and dignity. And we have been very clear that the rules of war must be adhered to.
There's no rules in war.
And that there be humanitarian aid that flows.
Okay, that's not Israel's responsibility, though. Welcome back to the program, Dana Lash here. I feel like a goth cupcake. I'm dressed as Wednesday Addams, but like the modern Wednesday Addams, not, you know, from the Tim Burton new series, which actually was great. Welcome back to the program, bottom of this first hour. So, she's saying that, first off, there's no rules in war. It's war. You cheat. Every good person will. I mean, this is just war 101. I don't like non-strategists. I love reading about military strategy. I love World War II history, World War I history. I love like war history, but particularly World War II because we had so many family members in it. And I feel like that's a concept, the idea of a polite war, that's created by people who've never fought it or who don't know anybody who ever fought it and have no idea what war fighters go through. You put people who go and prosecute campaigns that the pencil pushers come up with. When you make these kind of rules, like, oh, there's the manners in war. You got to have rules of war. There's no rules in war, chick. They know rules of war. I mean, you're talking about it's literally a zero sum game. How did Patton say it? Patriotism isn't dying for your country, but it's getting the, can I say what he said? Can I say that word? The dumb. It's about getting the dumb to die for his. So he's saying that the being a patriot, it's not dying for your country. It's getting that poor dumb, yeah, you know, having him die for his. I mean, that's war. She has no idea. I mean, going to Kamala Harris to talk about war is like going to Gretchen Carlson to listen to her talk about AR-15s, which we're going to talk about in a moment. But what she said there, too, is also incredibly, she's talking about what we've touched on the program. She's saying that you can't, you know, the issue of Hamas and Palestine, which is a fictional made up believe country. She's saying that there's no conflation between Hamas and the Palestinians. But that's what you have pushed. That is what this party has pushed for decades. That is what this party has pushed for the longest time. They have pushed this. And so this idea that you're not going to conflate it now after you've conflated it this entire time, you don't get to do that. You've done that. And it is their elected government. They did get elected. The only reason that, as I said, that they didn't have further elections is because the competing party, Fatah, which runs West Bank, was terrified that Hamas was going to take everything over. And I have to touch on one more time. I have to go back to that argument that I see a lot of people who think that they can. It's always these dumb communist drive-bys. It's always the people on the left, and they go, oh, well, you know that Netanyahu was the one who created Hamas, and they funded them. First off, they're citing this interview that he did where he was asked about Qatari involvement when they had the last ceasefire that was violated by Hamas, and they were talking about aid and what Israel should do to make Hamas happy, you know, as though they haven't done enough. I mean, they literally left them a whole country, a whole ass country, okay? And you had all that there, and you had the infrastructure and the everything, and they just ran into a hole in the ground. Literally, they built tunnels. But they were talking about funding for that. Now, the idea that he was, because he was saying in the beginning, and this is what the left does here domestically, that they're apparently too stupid to recognize elsewhere. You, instead of having a unified enemy, if you want to divide your enemy and have them play off each other, that's just strategy. I mean, if you had Hamas and you're going to have Fatah, and they're all under the quote-unquote Palestinian Authority, and to have them at each other's throats is better than to have them united and at everybody else's throat. And so that was kind of the strategy, you know, from my perspective of them going into it. But there are a lot of these people who have no idea the history of Hamas and Fatah. They have no idea about the governing authority over there in the territories. They just, like, read stuff that they see some moron influencer on X say, and they repeat it and act like it's their own thought. Shut up, you turds in the punch bowl. You guys ruin common discourse, and you make everything stupider because we have to pause life and address your moral, your idiocy. Stop it. Golly. Now, this, as I said, she's saying that it's very important there's no conflation between, well, that's what, but you've pushed that for such a long time, though. She's pushed that conflation. So, I, you know, it's a little bit difficult for me to hear her now. Like, but hearing her talk about strategy is just like hearing Gretchen Carlson talk about guns. So I had a fundraiser. We had a campaign kickoff and all this stuff last night for the mayor of our town. Everybody should, you should be involved. You should be at every mayoral campaign kickoff in your town. You should be at your city council. We go to the city council stuff. We're at the judge, the county commissioners, the judges, the school. I mean, you need to be involved in all of this because all politics is local, and you absolutely better judge people. And here's why. These people, if you're not involved locally, why the hell should anyone care about your opinions on national issues? If you cannot even be prevailed upon to take care of your own backyard, your own, where you live, then why should anyone take you seriously when you're looking at the national level? So we were there last night, but when I came back, so I'm explaining this to you because I was a little cranky. I was tired. I had been up. I had a really long day yesterday. We get back. I ate dinner. I barely ate dinner. I ate dinner super late. Didn't get back home until like a little after 10 o'clock. And then by the time I was exhausted by the time I was going to bed, and I ended up seeing this on X last night, and I forgot she existed. I felt like that movie. I felt like Tombstone, the scene when Val Kilmer, who should have won an Oscar for his portrayal as Doc Holliday, which is one of the best portrayals of any character I've ever seen in cinema, but I digress. It's when he was talking to Wyatt Earp, and then, Billy Bob Thornton's character. And that's when he had a lot of weight on him. We're standing there, and Doc Holliday goes, "Oh, I forgot you were there." And I felt like the same way reading this from Gretchen Carlson. So she is talking about my friend Ben Shapiro, who is saying he's not going to give up his AR-15. She retweets it, and I kid you not, this is like legit her. Woman retweets this, and she writes with her own finger. She thought this with her little brain. She tweeted, quote, "Ordinary people didn't have AR-15s before 2004. They're not some time-honored American tradition. They're a recent mistake that we could fix and save thousands of lives in the process." I'm sorry, what? Someone said, the sources are, dude, trust me. This is one of the stupidest things I've ever heard in my life. And I retweeted it and I said, Gretchen should stick to beauty pageants. Kane, what's the saying that I have when someone says something very dumb?
That you
would
go to their job?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I'm aware of it.
Should I share? You don't think I should? Okay.
No. You can intimate what it all means.
But. Yeah. I mean, I don't go to the, I'm just saying I don't go to the whorehouse and knock the dicks out of her mouth. So she doesn't need to be, you know, come in and. So that,
happy Halloween, everybody.
Yeah, happy. I love this, like, situational mute. Love that. So here's the thing. First off, that's wrong because it's been out there for a long time. It's a modern sporting rifle. I had retweeted it and I said, I'm like, Gretchen needs to stick with beauty pageants because that's embarrassing. That's not even accurate. I mean, it's not even remotely accurate. I mean, the idea, the AR, it's been around for a long, modern sporting rifle's been around for a super long time. It's been around for a very, very long time. And, you know, the I love how they all think, too, that every single rifle, it's, oh, it's black. That makes it shooty arcane. Gretchen facts. Did you know that rifles, when they're painted black, it makes the bullets come out faster? Hashtag Gretchen facts, F-A-C-K-S. Gretchen Carlson facts. How unfortunate that she has to share a last name with Tucker. They're not related. But, yeah, anything that has optics on it makes it shootier. If you put a sticker on it, it makes it shootier. Do you know that, Kane?
That's science.
So dangerous. Do you know the Mount Rushmore was carved with an AR-15? So dangerous it is. Do you know when they were testing, they told everyone, Kane, that they were testing nuclear devices in the Bikini Atoll? They weren't. What? They were shooting AR-15s.
What?
Oh my gosh. Just crazy. Hashtag science, hashtag facts, Gretchen facts. I should have been her for Halloween, but I can't go that long being stupid. I just can't. How would you, someone says that with such conviction? Where do these people come from? It's like they're like Martians. Where do they come from? They say this with such conviction. Well, yes, you know, we've never had before 2004, no one had AR-15s. It's crazy. Everything's an AR-15. Every rifle that I don't know is an AR-15. Good heavens. The comment section is should be a book. Actually, it should. It's one of the most amazing things ever. First off, she's not correct at all whatsoever. I mean, people have been buying. I mean, this thing has been around for what? Good grief. 50s? Longer?
Yeah.
I mean,
for sure the 50s.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's been around for forever. And just to add, it's also the firearm that's like the most well-behaved firearm that's out there. I say that somewhat facetiously because it is an inanimate object and people choose of their own volition to do good or bad things with them. But it is involved literally in the least amount of criminal activity. The least amount. And so, for her to say, well, we could save thousands of, you know what would save thousands of lives is if, you know, we had no crime, Gretch. Can I just also add, I've only met like two Gretchens that I like in my life. What is up with like a lot of the Gretchens out there? If you're a Gretchen and you're listening to the show, we'd probably get along. But you know what I mean?
Right.
Like sometimes you just meet a people, an inordinate amount of a same name person that you don't like. And you're like, what is up with this name? Everybody that I don't like is named this, right? That are you run into a people who's, I don't know. I guess that's how the Karen phenomenon kicked off. I don't know. But dang, you got Big Gretch. You got Big Gretch up in Michigan.
Yeah.
Big Gretch Whitmer. She's like the Paul Bunyan in a dress. And then you got Gretchen Carlson. Good grief. I'm going to tell you a story. I kind of met Gretchen Carlson once. Because I've done stuff with Fox for a number of years. She was one of the rudest people I've ever met.
Really?
Oh my gosh. She was not nice. She was one of the rudest people I've ever met in my life. When, I'm trying to think back when this was. I think it was when my first book was out. Hands off my gun. And I had to go to, she was still at Fox, and I went to Fox. I was doing, the first week that your book comes out, it's hell on earth because you do media. And if you already work in radio, you're doing 3 hours of radio a day already. But you also have like all the media hits and you're doing all kinds of media. And it's nonstop from morning till night. And you do all the late night hits, all of that. And so that's like for a full week, your first full week push. And so was up in New York and I was getting ready to go on Fox and Friends and I was in the green room and she was doing like a guest segment on something. She was still there. She was in a different day part, but she was there. And, you know, you go into the green room and everybody's very nice and other guests who are there waiting, they, you know, everybody always introduces themselves if they don't know each other already and, you know, greetings, salutations, etc. And I said, you know, hello to her. And she just kind of looked at me and then took a sip of coffee, got up and left. She was one of the rudest people I have ever met in this industry. And I can't really say that about a lot of people because I've met everybody's always, the only other person who was really kind of cold to me was Barbara Walters. And even like Whoopi Goldberg, when I did The View, had pity on me, but it was fine. But yeah, Gretchen Carlson was meaner than her. she was like one of the like rudest people I've ever met in my life. And I was just like, golly. I mean, my thought in my head was, what a bitch. But, you know, I didn't say anything. I was like, okay. And me and my husband looked at each other and there was another guest in there. And we all just kind of looked at each other and it was odd. Anyway, so, you know, it goes to show you. I mean, now I was like, oh, she hates my book. That's why she was, you know, now in hindsight, I'm like, oh, it's because she's a gun grabber and she hates guns. And it was literally a book about guns. All right, we have more to come. Our partners over at Patriot Mobile, the only Christian conservative cell phone service in the country, and they want to save you money without funding the left. For 10 years now, actually now over 10 years, you can make the switch, make Patriot Mobile your provider, and get free activation using code Dana. Their team has been great supporters of the show. I'm proud to partner with them, proud to be a customer, love my service. They offer dependable nationwide coverage on all three major networks, so you get the best service in your area without funding the far left. And when you switch, you're going to save some money. They got plans tailor-made for everybody, and they have a 100% U.S.-based customer service team. They're going to make it very easy for you to switch. You can keep your phone, keep your number. If you want to get a new number, you want to upgrade your phone, it is entirely fine for you. The choice is yours. Do whatever you want. And they're just going to make your service affordable. And ask about that coverage guarantee. All dependable nationwide coverage and all three major networks. Visit patriotmobile.com/Dana or call 972-PATRIOT. And be sure to mention offer code Dana to get free activation. That's patriotmobile.com/Dana or call 972-PATRIOT. Make the switch today.
Don't let FOMO get the best of you. Stay in the loop and ahead of the curve by following Dana on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Like sands through the hourglass, so are the days of the United States.
Charlie make certain commitments to make sure AI is safe and the system is secure.
Wait, oh, this was his big AI speech?
Yeah.
Yesterday? Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash here with you. That was POTUS, President of the United States, who's talking about AI.
He was having a hard time with the word certain. I think he cut seven.
He was really struggling with that. Well, and then, okay, so do seven, and then we got to talk about how he had no idea how to take a photo. So do, yeah, let's play seven, because this was part of his... I don't know what he was saying here. I don't know. Maybe you know.
Before I begin, I want to explain why I was delayed a few minutes. I've just spoken with President Fain of the United Auto Workers. And let me say a few words about UAW and the big three automakers, Ford, General Motors, and Stellantis. They have reached a historic agreement and a hard-fought agreement that was really battled for a while, but it was all done in good faith. And these record agreements reward auto work.
I mean, what?
I don't get it.
Maybe he needs AI to talk for him. I'm just saying. You know, maybe he needs AI. Okay, can we talk about how he had no idea how to do photos?
Yeah.
Audio soundbite five. Jill had to like get in and tell him where to go. Do I have time?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, check it. She's dressed as a cat. It's like all of a sudden. He just stands there awkward. Like, oh, why are you doing this? Why? Good heavens. We have a second hour on the way, ladies and gents. You don't want to miss a lot more coming up. Stay with us. The Kel-Tec R50. This thing is so cool looking. First off, Kel-Tec is a really good, it's a great Florida company. And they make really awesome, really, really awesome firearms. The P50, which I've talked about for quite a long time. Love the P50. Huge. P50 is one of the coolest things that's out there. But they also have the R50. And if you're unfamiliar with the R50, this is their, you know, it's a 5.7. It's the follow-up to the P50. And it has features like that you're not going to find really anywhere else. It's features like no other is the best way to put it. And the cool thing with the R50 is that you have this ambicide folding stock, 16-inch threaded barrel, really great ballistics. It takes the same magazines as the P50, and you have all the benefits of a carbine. So you get 7 inches of rail space, just like with the P50 for accessories, you know, all the dangerous stuff that nobody knows about, and they say that makes guns shootier. I don't know, optics, all kinds of really cool stuff. 5.7 comes in several variants, sporting, hunting, serious, personal defense. And it ships with two standard capacity, 50-round double-stack mags. It lays horizontally along the top. It's super lightweight, really well-balanced, very easy to manipulate. It's a lot of fun on the range as well. And it's just cool as all get out. I mean, when you need excellent accuracy, minimal recoil, and firepower, R50 is a great home defense. It checks every single box. You got to check it out. It's the R50. R stands for rifle. The 50 stands for pews. And that's the follow-up to the P50. It's only from Kel-Tec. Learn more about the new R50 carbine at KelTecWeapons.com. That's KelTecWeapons.com. Tell them Dana sent you.
Beds. What have you done about this?
Four things I'd like to say to you. Number one, your question to suggest that that is emblematic of the men and women of the Department of Homeland Security is despicable.
Number I'm sorry, two, what have you done? This person works for the Department of Homeland Security. Have you fired her?
That was one of four answers.
Have you fired her?
One.
Have you fired her? Don't come to this hearing room when Israel has been invaded and Jewish students are barricaded in libraries in this country and cannot be escorted out because they are threatened for their lives. You have employees who are celebrating genocide, and you are saying it's despicable for me to ask the question?
Wow. Josh Hawley, Senator Josh Hawley, is not having it with Alejandro Mayorkas. Whoo! That's his hearing. That's pretty unbelievable. Welcome back to the program. Top of this. I can't believe it's already the second hour. Seriously? On this Halloween day. Again, Dana Lash here with you. Top of the second hour. It had taken me a second to realize that we already went through the first one. I thought that that was a really good exchange there, because there's a major problem with the recognition and realization of things that are happening in this world with this administration, because Mayorkas was saying, oh, well, there's, you know, the rise in anti-Semitism since Hamas. It's a part of a pre-existing. Have you seen the latest stuff like on college campuses and that? I mean, I don't recall Jewish students having to be barricaded into a library or Jewish students being too afraid to go to their like community centers on campus, their worship centers on campus. I mean, there was audio of this was in Colorado, where you have the city council met. And this is insane. They had the city council meeting last night, and they had a motion to fly the Israeli flag next to the Ukrainian flag on the local government building, and they voted it down. One of the council members, whose name was Doyle, said that Gaza was a concentration camp. I got some questions, man. This is wild. I got some questions. This is just, it's wild. We're going to talk more about that, because in Colorado, what is happening there? It's happening everywhere, though. Wisconsin. Everywhere. I was talking to my son, who is at college, and asking him if he's seen any. He hasn't seen anything weird as where he's at. He's at a pretty conservative school. But I also know that he and his friends wouldn't tolerate it if they did. My son definitely wouldn't tolerate it if he saw. Definitely would not. That particular son is very. He's got the fire of John, as my husband's father said. He's very, you know, there's no gray area, and he's very firm in his beliefs, and he also has no problem providing. Forceful instruction. If I'm trying to figure out how to say this, if you know, there's a correction that needs to be made. I'm just saying, you know, he didn't have a problem. Just wild. They had they had a bunch of the Senate hearing that we played this audio from. They had people who interrupted the Senate committee hearing, and they had red hands because they're stupid. and they were demanding ceasefires. You're telling the wrong people to ceasefire, you stupid morons. You're telling the wrong people to have the ceasefire. It's like going to the victim of a rapist and saying, stop getting raped. That's exactly what these people are doing. Oh, it is. And you should own it. And you should be shamed and ridiculed publicly for it. I'm all about bringing back bullying, man. Bring back bullying. And McCarthy was right. Bring back bullying. Some of these people need to be ridiculed publicly out of the public square. Oh, I'm all for you having your stupid wrong opinion. I just want you to realize that there's not room for the amount of ridicule that I and others will heap upon someone for having such a stupid, bigoted, Hamas apologizing opinion. Ain't room for, it's not enough earth for both of us. I see these people, they interrupted the Senate hearing. I was told that that's, Kane, that that was insurrectionism. Yeah. So when are they going to get arrested and thrown in jail for forever? I'm waiting. Yeah. When's the jail time? Where's it at? Where's that jail time at? This is all Marxist CRT. It's all what this is. And it's all just, everything's just kicking off right at the exact same time. Very interesting, is it not? All at the exact same time. The administration with this ongoing hearing. I wanted to, let me play this audio for you because we got a couple of different bits of audio here. We had this, I think we played this coming in to the first hour, Ducey with KJP. I want to play this because the reason I'm highlighting this is how many times have you heard, if you don't even own a gun, but you support the Second Amendment, you're an extremist. Or if you're a parent who was speaking out at some of the super inappropriate graphic books, like the actual drawings of pornography in junior high libraries, you were considered an extremist. So Peter Ducey is asking KJP whether or not she can answer as to if the administration thinks that these pro-Hamas protesters, not people who are just simply criticizing the way that maybe some of the judicial stuff that Netanyahu did or something like that. No, no, no. These are people who are literally saying from the river to the sea, talking about genocide of an entire nation of people, whether or not those people are extremists. KJP cannot answer. Listen to this.
We hear you guys, though, talk about extremists all the time. It is usually about MAGA extremists. So what about these protesters who are making Jewish students feel unsafe on college campuses? Are they extremists?
I've been very, very clear. We are calling out any form of hate. Any form of hate. It is not acceptable. It should not be acceptable here. And we are going to continue to call that out. And let me be very clear. This is a president that has continued to have that fight in his office, in this administration. You know, when he repealed Trump's Muslim ban on his very first day in office, that is something that this president did. He also established an inter-policy committee to counter Islamophobia, anti-Semitism, and related forms of bias and discrimination. We have taken this very, very, very seriously from the president all the way on down.
Really, though? Because it doesn't sound like it. Audio Soundbite 12, John Kirby tries, you know, he did good with one soundbite and then he screwed up because he was asked about this. And then then it all goes to hell. Listen to this. Audio Soundbite 12.
And the same goes, you know, for here in the country. Kareem talked about what's going on college campuses, but same goes for Islamophobia. There's no place for that in the country. It must be condemned equally as strong, and we all need to work with might and main to stop that kind of hate as well.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So it's wild to me that this is even like a thing, that we have to have an ongoing discussion about this stuff with college campuses and the like that are taking place, the same goes for Islamophobia. No, the same doesn't go for Islamophobia. I don't see anybody doing that at any college campus. I'm not hearing from people at different college campuses that are saying this. Nobody's saying this. Literally nobody. Nobody's saying that about anybody who's Muslim. I'm tired of it. Nobody's saying that. In the meantime, there have been Israeli soldiers killed in ground fighting in Gaza since the incursion began. The IDF has expanded its ground operations, and they're very slowly, very cautiously going in. And so far, they've been, I mean, they've had to rely on airstrikes. Hamas is going to have a hard time trying to make this like Stalingrad without any of the same motivations or remotely in any other way comparable to how, you know, the player or the two actors on either side in that. But they were trying to neutralize essentially Israel with airstrikes and artillery, and trying to dig in and make it to where Israel has to conduct a ground offensive. And now they're having issues because their tunnels are collapsing. The tunnels are collapsing. And so that's a major, kind of a major issue there. You're not going to be able to set ambushes. You're not going to be able to do any of this stuff when you've got when you have like literally, I was just telling you about this one neighborhood that was in northern Gaza, because there was a strike and then their entire like area began collapse. It was a sinkhole. And that's the other thing. And I noticed this, other people noticed this as well. I retweeted one listener who had said that this, you know, they call these collapses into tunnels sinkholes, and they have really weird, interesting phrases for stuff if it's, you know, like where they have their munitions stored and all of this stuff. They have the way that they put it, so that it's almost like they have it the way that they are writing about it, so you don't understand that it's another problem of Hamas's creating, of their creation. We have headlines on the way. And we're also going to get into some of the stuff domestically, because we have to talk about the budget bills, the spending bills that are coming up, because you have Israel aid, you have Ukrainian aid. Joe Biden wants to tie everything to Ukraine.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
I didn't know that people had to calculate how much candy that they needed for Halloween. I did not know that was a thing. Apparently, they say that you have to, so nobody leaves it. I don't care if people leave empty-handed. You just get X amount of candy. And if you don't show up to get candy, it's not my responsibility to make sure that every damn kid in the neighborhood and every other neighborhood has a piece of candy. Stop teaching kids to be grifters. Moving on. Get out early and get your damn candy. For real. Right? Yay. Sometimes they get aggravated. Like, especially when somebody shows up after 9 o'clock, it's like, get out. If the light's off, don't be stepping up to the door. Don't be doing that. All right. Seattle and Portland. What is this? This is this. Seattle and Portland rank high on the list of top U.S. cities for vampires, says a completely serious article at KRO7. Yeah, they said that or people who are in need of blood, as they, oh, really? We're doing this now? This is where we're doing this. Can I just make a really simple observation? In the movies, like all the supernatural characters, they're supposed to be like these, you know, like the women are like pretty and the men are handsome. But in real life, it's completely the opposite. There are always some like dejected fat ass that was like the JV baton twirler, you know, at their podunk school. And then they grow up and they need an identity. So they try to say that they're vampires, and they never look like what the movies portray. It's never like Dracula, Coppola's version. It's never like that. You don't get anybody that looks like Mina, Winona Ryder in that. You don't get anybody that like a Gary Oldman looking Dracula. You never get any of that. You get some guy who looks like James Corden. Stop it. It's true, because the guy who is it, click that link. Click it. Tell me that guy does not look like James Corden.
He does.
Yeah, he does, right?
He does.
Who is not funny?
No,
he's not. Also, I can't believe that's a thing. I can't even go on with the rest of the story. Employee at Lexington Wendy's saves a customer's life using CPR. That's pretty amazing. That's service. That's pretty cool. But they said that it was the woman, Alexandria Cowherd, she performed CPR on a man in a Wendy's parking lot. She said, "I didn't panic visibly, but in the mind I was like, I have to do, you know, what do I do?" She said that a man in the parking lot had a medical emergency, and somebody, a worker at Wendy's, noticed, and someone grabbed the coworker for help. She said they called 911, but by the time they got to the man, he was purple blue in the face. He wasn't responding, and he wasn't breathing. So she conducted several compressions, and she said he finally took a gasp of air. But the whole thing, they said, took like about 15 minutes. And so she said that she's a future medical professional. She wants to work in NICU. So she looks like she's going to Wendy's. She's at Wendy's, and she's going to school to become a certified nursing assistant. So I think it would be really cool if like Wendy's stepped up maybe and kind of rewarded her. I think that would be awesome because, you know, it's good to have good news like that, you know. Very good. Also, let's see here. Netanyahu tells the foreign press that calls for a ceasefire or calls for Israel to surrender. Hunter Biden took a $250,000 loan from Chinese business pals in a lead up to the 2020 election, according to House Oversight. We're going to dive into that here. And in Iowa, as voters get to know Vivek Ramaswamy, his campaign's over, by the way. His campaign is entirely, totally over. They said that his unfavorable rating has surged. We have a lot more in store coming up for you as we roll into the bottom of this second hour. Stick with us.
Whether you're a policy wonk, a news junkie, or simply someone hungry for insightful discourse, the Dana Show podcast has your back. Follow Dana on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
And will the U.S. allow Gazan refugees to enter the United States? Are there plans to admit Gazan refugees into the U.S.?
Again, we believe that the people of Gaza want to stay in Gaza. That's what we've consistently heard from Palestinian leadership and others in the region. And we believe that they have the right to do so.
Look at that. That's the Biden State Department spokesperson, Matt Miller, saying that, well, I'm not going to be able to say whether or not the U.S. can admit refugees from Gaza or not. I'm just don't know if I can say that.
They
want to
stay there.
Yeah. What? That doesn't make any sense. I mean, can't you just let us know? They can't actually answer about the hostages either. Welcome back. Dana Lash here, bottom of this second hour. And I wanted to pull that up as well because it's kind of how many hostages are there? So this is what gets me. I read this tweet, and this is from, who's he with? Let me make sure that, okay, so he's a reporter. And he says that the U.S. was suspending charter flights for Americans out of Israel due to a lack of demand. Nearly 600 U.S. citizens in Gaza are unable to leave due to what the U.S. says are a number of Hamas demands. So Hamas is holding them hostage, basically. These are Americans who were in Gaza on October 7th, and Hamas will not allow them to leave the country. Now, you would think that that would be a story that a media outlet would lead with, but you would be shocked because they're not. They had this, it was like way down in the bottom of the story. That is, there's a couple of different places, including there's a piece in Jerusalem Post where they're saying that Hamas was making a number of demands before it was allowing people to leave Gaza, and also involved in some of those who are being held hostage in Gaza or America. I mean, that's your you are holding them hostage. That's what this is. Hamas is holding them hostage. 600 U.S. citizens. I'm really, wait, why are we just now? Because honestly, this started making the rounds yesterday. And I was looking to see when the first piece was that. Yeah, this was like it was yesterday. Literally yesterday is when this first came out. Play that audio that you just dropped in there, Kane. Because and when was this? This was yesterday. When John Kirby was asked, how many Americans have you confirmed are hostages? Listen to what he says here.
How many Americans have you confirmed in that time are actually hostages?
Less than 10.
That's not a number. I want a number from you.
Less than 10.
Why can't you give a number?
James, I've given you an answer. What's your next question?
Well, it seems like there's more than that because several of these publications are saying that, well, they don't lead with it. One is Haaretz that says that there were 600 still held there and Hamas is making demands and not allowing people to leave. And then they get into, oh, yeah, there's, you know, 600. It's kind of a big deal. It's a lot more than 10.
Yeah.
not less than 10.
Yeah. Say, meanwhile, the nearly 600 U.S. citizens in Gaza are unable to leave because Hamas is making a number of demands before they allow people to leave Gaza, just as we believe they ought to release all hostages they're holding, blah, blah, blah. This is what Miller said. Miller was talking about the hostages and saying that some people are being forced to remain in Gaza. Why is this not a huge story? Why did John Kirby go out and say, and why did he tell James Rosen, who's asking him, you know, why did he tell them that there are less than 10 or fewer than 10? Because it sounds like there's a hell of a lot more than that. A lot more than that. 600. So you learned that there are 1,000, all of a sudden, 1,000 hostages there, and then you have like 600 some other Americans. What in the world? And they suspended charter flights because they say there wasn't a demand. But these are, again, Americans that have been there since October 7th. And it's not really a lot. And a lot of people, by the way, a lot of Americans who are in Israel have chosen to stay there just because it's not really safe for them to try to leave. That's something else that I'd been hearing too. The people that is being reported and that friends are there are saying that, you know, it's not safe for anybody to even try to leave right now. That's how dangerous all this is. So this is a hostage crisis. This isn't a question of hostages. This is, you have a ton of hostages in Gaza. And I mean, I can see that the administration may not want to emphasize the scope of the issue. But, you know, because I would think the media attention would probably make it even more difficult and may help Hamas. But lying about this, you realize this is just going to make him look like this is Afghanistan 2.0, right? But even on a even larger scale with that many hostages. Seems like that should be an incredibly important story, and it seems like that's what they should be leading with, but they're not. And John Kirby, that was just an outright lie. I was looking to see if he wouldn't even challenged on that. He wasn't even challenged on it. Wow. So I'm just amazed by this. All amazed by it. All of the people who are demanding, and I'm looking at my collection that I have saved of all of these different tweets from whether it's politicians, whether it's, you know, influencers, whether it's editorialists, even some celebrities and the like, who are going on and on about the need for humanitarian demonstration from Israel. They need to see humanitarian moves from Israel. Not a single one of these people have asked for any of the hostages to be released. Now, I'm looking at those two. Do you think if people knew? I mean, really, they should just be, I mean, they should realize that the only reason that we're in this situation is because A, Hamas started it, and B, all they would have to do is release the hostages, which they won't. But do you think that, two, also, I can kind of go both ways with this. If the media is reporting on the wide number of hostages that are being held, and it's a lot, you know, greater than, you know, John Kirby saying, no, it's less than 10. It also changes the narrative coming from the Hamas apologists who don't think that less than 10 is enough to demand that Hamas release the hostages first. Does that make sense? Do they not think that that's a lot of people, so they just don't have to make the demands that, well, you know, who? It's just a few people. So we don't have to say that Hamas should release the hostages. Because I've actually seen people make the argument, including New York Times editorialists, that is the whole country of people worth this, you know, X amount of, like, they've actually been trying to do this Peter Singer logic. What are you saying over there? Because you're...
No. Never mind. I was on a point that you made earlier.
Okay. You look like you're going to say something sassy. Yeah, so I mean, curious.
Think about it. We gave them access to $6 billion and gave them, like, some prisoners for, like, five Americans, mm-hmm. I guess. But he's acting like less than 10 is, like, something he can just shrug off. Like, yeah. That's my, I don't know.
Yeah. Oh, it's just, you know, yeah, less than 10. It's not a, you know, I'm glad that James Rosen was pressing him on it. Right. Well, how many Americans have you confirmed? Well, it's less than 10.
Is
well,
that nine? Is that nine or two?
Yeah. Or is it 600? Because this is what's being reported, that it's like 600. Is it this many? And that's a legitimate question. Good heavens. Now, in the meantime, as all of this goes on, we have a speaker, House Speaker, and they're trying to send, they want to send $14.3 billion to Israel, and they want to roll back the budget for the IRS to pay for it. So they want to take away from the IRS agents, and they want to send aid to Israel. There are some people on the right who are like, well, I don't know why we're sending any aid over there. I'll be real. I actually, as a taxpayer who has paid six figures in taxes, so I get to bitch, I mean, a lot. I think that honestly, we shouldn't be funding IRS, all this other stuff. Article 1, Section 8, that's what we should do. Anyway, beyond that, if I'm helping give some money to an ally to take care of a terrorist problem that's targeting them now and will eventually target us if they don't take care of the problem, I'm okay with giving them some money to do that. If it means that I don't have to send my kids over later today, or if it means that we don't have to spend trillions to fight a war that wasn't taken care of there and spread and became a plague on the earth. Does that make sense? I feel like some people kind of miss that point. And I say send my kids to die because I don't believe that the U.S. wins wars anymore. And I question the people that we have at the highest levels of command. So absolutely, I feel completely fine in saying that. I'm not fine with it happening. So, yeah, I'm okay with spending a little money to help somebody else take care of a problem that I don't have to deal with later. I don't believe in boots on the ground over there. I don't believe in any of that. But unless it's we're kicking in doors with a spec ops team to get our people back. But hell, do we even know? I mean, golly, Kirby was saying less than 10 yesterday. And then last night it came out that it looks like 600. Kind of a big difference there. We have Florida Man on the way.
It's his life mission to make bad decisions. It's time for Florida Man.
So I've heard of a lot of things in life. I hear of people taking, you know, they get Ubers or something like that for different things. This Florida man took an Uber to kill someone. Oh, but there's more. He paid the Uber driver $100 to wait for him. So after he killed his target, then he could get back into the Uber. For real, I'm not even making this up. Claudio Samoya was sentenced to life in prison this month because he was convicted of killing a man in a hotel parking lot in 2021. So it's making news now because he was convicted just this week. So it was during the second trial following a mistrial. The guy was found guilty of first-degree murder for fatally, of course he did, 23-year-old Jamal Drummond. He shot him in the head at a Holiday Inn in West Palm Beach. Now, the testimony came from people who witnessed it and also the Uber driver, Enzo Ramirez, because the dude took the Uber to go kill this guy, paid $100 to drop him off of the hotel, and then waited for him across the street at a gas station. And Ramirez said Samoya returned to the vehicle visibly upset 15 minutes later, and he was talking to somebody on the phone and crying Ramirez said as he drove Samoya back home, but he did not know entirely what he was saying. And then he said that he literally took a guy to do it, to like kill this dude. Oh my gosh, this is crazy. So yeah, now the guy's so his own Uber. I've heard of a lot of things, but that's one of the stupidest things I think I've ever heard. So there's a stir on the streets of Florida. Mm-hmm. It's a DeSoto County Sheriff. They're asking for the public's help to find the driver of a white Chevrolet Silverado impersonating law enforcement. The truck bears the license plate H05F41. It has red and blue lights, and plastered on the side in capital letters are the words Booty Patrol. It's a real honest to heavens thing. So the headline says that cops are searching. This sounds like I need Richard Attenborough to read this headline. That Florida deputies are on the hunt for the elusive Booty Patrol, roaming the streets and pulling drivers over. So deputies say that they're looking for this. I mean, it looks like a city worker vehicle, like maybe with like Highway Patrol or not Highway, Department of Transportation or something. Were it not for the giant Booty Patrol plastered on literally both sides of the truck. So they're telling people if you, it has green decals on it and it says Booty Patrol. And if you see it, you know, you're supposed to contact police. Oh, sorry. It has Booty Patrol on both sides and on the back. The back gate. Yeah. Back tailgate. So they're apparently just Booty Patrols just pulling people over. And just, you know, for no reason. They said they're trying to ensure the safety of the community. But they said, yes, you know, if you see it's suspicious. You know, don't pull over. Contact police, etc. Booty Patrol. Really? Did someone think, I mean, people know that that's, you can't do that, right? Like, you can't impersonate.
I wonder, do they issue tickets?
What, Booty Patrol?
Actual paper tickets?
It doesn't say. And I feel like that's like an important thing to know, right?
Right.
Like, if, like, are you pulling, I mean, are Booty Patrols, or are you patrolling booty? I don't understand. I'm just asking a question. Yeah, I don't know. Also, let's see here, another, there was a guy who was, got in trouble for eating, I don't know how one eats pasta belligerently, but a drunk Florida man was arrested outside of Olive Garden because he ate pasta he ate it belligerently, threw spaghetti at people, 32-year-old Ben Padgett, and was placed under arrest for disorderly intoxication. Did he get, the article doesn't say whether or not he got drunk at the Olive Garden.
Right.
A Florida man was mistaken as dead after a fender bender, but he's very much alive. He said, no, I am. Moises Ramos says that he's very much alive. He's a real estate broker, 51 years old from Miami. He got in a little fender bender pulling out of his driveway a couple of years ago. He filed an insurance claim, went about his life until he tried to become an Uber driver last year. And they said, no, you were killed in a car crash. You can't be an Uber driver.
What?
He says, what? And he goes, yeah, you're dead. You can't be an Uber driver. They literally said this to him. They're like, you're dead. You actually can't be an Uber driver. He's like, that's not possible. USA Today has the story. And he had to get into the Cutler Bay Police Department. He had to go figure out what happened. I mean, clearly it was like human error. But he said that it took months to get this changed. And he wasn't able to do anything until he went to 7 News Miami, Help Me Howard. And they had to, literally, the local news crew had to help pressure the state because they said he's dead. So they're finally getting that. It's crazy. Stick with us. We got a lot more in store. Third hour on the way.
Just like my grandparents and the grandparents of millions of Jews, from now on, my team and I will wear yellow stars. We will wear this star until you condemn the atrocities of Hamas and demand the immediate release of our hostages. Never again is now.
That is the Israeli UN ambassador who, they all put them on there. They put the yellow patch that. That's what they were, you know, the history behind it, where they were, during Nazism and caliphates during the Middle Ages and all of that. I mean, good heavens. So that sends a strong message. Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash here with you. Always good to be with you. You can listen coast to coast. You can stream the radio program. You can watch the simulcast, Channel 347 on DirecTV. As well as YouTube, Facebook, all that good stuff. Yes, I'm dressed as Wednesday Addams today, if you're watching the simulcast. And we do have our werewolf here.
Yeah, we do.
Gotta give him I think we're gonna make him green and put like a Santa hat on him. so he can be the Grinch for Christmas because, you know, it's really good animatronics. It's just really good. You can't even get this at the Costco anymore. You can't even get it at the Costco anymore. So, anyway, so this, that was a very good, I mean, I think that that's, I mean, it's a good reminder, and they're going to have to deal with it until they condemn this stuff. In the meantime, you know, we've been talking about this ongoing spread of anti-Semitism across the nation at different college campuses. I mean, we were talking about University of Wisconsin-Madison, Cornell. What gets me is that University of Wisconsin at Madison, I mean, they had people standing outside of their Jewish center for students. It's all like their worship center, screaming blank the Jews through a megaphone, talking about screaming from the river to the sea, the fictional country that's Palestine that never existed in history will be free, all this other stuff. Now, apparently that's okay. But didn't they say, I mean, there are listeners that have made a really good point. This is Halloween, right? It's Halloween. People were told you can't even wear a sombrero for Halloween because you might make somebody feel unsafe. If you wear a sombrero, you can't dress up like an American Indian because you might offend somebody. You make them feel unsafe. You could offend them, make them feel bad. So no, you can't dress up as that. What are all some of the other costumes you can't dress up as, Kane? You can't, no sombreros. You can't even eat tacos on Tuesday. What else?
No, you can't, like, ninja outfits. Remember they got all upset at ninja outfits?
Wait, I'm sorry, what?
Yeah. You can't dress up as
over
a ninja.
Over ninjas.
Yeah.
Hold up.
You're Asian appropriating.
Well, I know that there was a girl who was dressing in a kimono for prom because she thought it was gorgeous. And a lot of people got mad at her and they went after her. Oh, yeah. So, yeah, ninja and samurai. Oh, you can't do that.
Nope. Can't do
that. Everything is so stupid. But you can stand outside of a student center with a megaphone and scream about, you know, blank the Jews, no good Jew, like a dead Jew is what they were screaming.
Apparently that's okay.
And apparently there's video of it that exists too. But hey, that's they allow that. That's, you know, that you can do.
But no sombrero for you.
Yeah, you can't wear a sombrero. You can't do any of that. I mean, by the way, so University of Wisconsin at Madison, where they have people outside the Jewish center, they're screaming all these invectives and all this blood libel. That was okay. But back in 2021, they removed a rock because they said it was racist. Yeah. I am looking at the office of the chancellor, and they have a piece up there. It's on their, it's on the University of Wisconsin at Madison, their website. What a rock has to do with racism. They said that they removed this 42-ton rock, known as the Chamberlain Rock, from their main campus. They said that it's a rock, by the way. They said that they talked to people from the geology department and all these other things about the rock. And they said that some people said that the rock was the symbol of anti-blackness. I'm sorry, what? It's a rock. Are you what? What? They don't actually tell you what the hell the rock is. They have, oh my gosh, this is like a, oh my gosh, it's like a 4,000 word piece on this dumbass rock. I'm not kidding you.
So they buried it.
They don't actually tell you why, because I know nothing about this rock. And they removed it back in, let's pull this up. They removed it. It's literally just a rock. People said that it was a symbol of racism. Why is it a symbol of racism? Well, if you were, they said that it's because it had a nickname at one point. What? Can anyone write a story where they just tell you what the hell's going on instead of just, you know, giving you all this stupid stuff? They said it's the Chamberlain Rock. And let's see if the AP can do it right. Let's see if the AP can get it. If their stupid page will load. Maybe not. But they said that it was apparently a symbol of racism somehow. And that it's a 42-ton rock. It occupied a very blah, blah, blah. Here's a photo, blah, blah. Oh, can you just tell me that not even their morons at their paper can do it? Apparently, they said that the Black Students Union said the rock was offensive and harmful. Why? Why? Oh, it had a nickname. It had a racial slur as a nickname at one point. I had to actually Google an old image of an old newspaper to get the story because none of these people educated at these universities have been taught how to write an actual damn news story. So it had a racial slur as a nickname. So why don't you just rename it?
Right.
I mean, who cares? It's a rock.
So where'd they move it?
Hell if I know.
So it's going to be racist wherever it's moved to?
It's going
to
go spread. I mean, I don't know if I've ever seen anything so dumb in my whole life. They literally got in a giant work crew. And they got this massive sling to get the rock in the sling, a pre-Cambrian era glacial erratic, whatever the hell that is. It's a rock. And they removed it. And then they had to do a whole big thing because they said they had to have their historical society sign off because it was located within 50 feet of a Native American burial site. Oh my gosh. It is a rock. They got a giant flatbed and they literally... It was just because of a slur for the nickname. $50,000 it cost to move the rock. I mean, you could just rename it. I mean, you could have just done that, but I don't know, Kane. Anyway, my whole point in bringing this up is that at University of Wisconsin, Madison, they spent $50,000 to remove a rock because the rock was racist. But it's totally fine to stand outside of the Jewish Student Center and scream blood libel through a megaphone. I'm confused here, Kane.
Yeah, me too.
So, again, the rock was racist. Not like the rock, the actor, but like an actual what did they say? It was a pre-Cambrian geological erratic, whatever the hell that is. That's racist. The physical thing, the rock, actual pebble, the large pebble, boulder. But standing outside again, the Jewish Student Center yelling blood libel through a megaphone is okay. Okay. So that's okay. And that's not just the only, I mean, you have University of Michigan, Cornell, where they had to literally lock students in the library. That's crazy. All of this stuff, so bad. They've spent, we've sheltered and indoctrinated kids at these educational institutions. That is what has happened. I think they need to learn, lose their accreditation and all of that. Carol Markowitz, my friend Carol Markowitz, made a great point because she says, remember how they did the cancel, the left was going, oh my gosh, you're engaging in cancel culture. You're trying to cancel the students that are screaming blood libel. Well, there's a difference between speech and there's literally a difference between that and agreeing with a terrorist group that wants to kill us all and start with just the Jewish people. There's a big difference. Are you too stupid? Are you too inbred to know the difference? I'm curious. Is your family tree one branch? Just a giant trunk? Is it? I mean, seriously, I question these people. Oh, that's not a tree. It's a pole. It's a pole. Oh, you sweet little thing. It's a pole. It's not a tree. That leads people to, you know, call this cancel culture. Carol Markowitz made the point. I'm just so worried that if these kids are named and their future employees find out that I'll be participating in cancel culture, you know, like Santa's a joke about it. But for real, though. So wait a minute. I mean, we're in Halloween. Everyone's told you can't dress up as this. You can't dress up as that. You can't dress up. You can't do this. Apparently, I'm violating some kind of made up rule from one of the writers, whatever, because you're not supposed to dress up as characters from things that they were boycotting or something. So Wednesday Addams was part of it. Shut up. I ain't doing that. I'm curious. I just got a lot of questions about this. Right? Lots of questions. So safe space or no? And then also, here's the other thing I'm you know, confused about. Where it comes to cancel culture, because I was told that it's totally fine by the left to cancel all the things. These are their rules, right? Yeah. I mean, isn't that those are their rules about cancel culture. So It only goes to, you know, prove that now they're against cancel culture? Make this make sense, Kane.
I
can't.
I wish I had the ability. I don't.
I don't either. I don't. I thought that cancel culture, now they're for it. I don't know. Yeah, the Chamberlain Rock is what it's called. I wanted to share this too. So, the Welsh Labour Party shared a tweet where they said, "The paths of Black history and Welsh history are indivisible. There is no history of Wales without the history of Black experiences in Wales." I think you can totally say that all these experiences today are a part of, you know, modern Wales, but this is a country that's like literally, 0.9% minority? Yeah. I think people are reacting to the try too hard. That's what I'm getting out of this. The virtue signaling is off the charts. So coming up, they replaced all the dwarves in Snow White with CGI. Well, they didn't. They weren't dwarves. They were regular. I don't know how to say it. Kane, they were people that were just magical people dressed as hippies. They weren't dwarves.
Right.
And a lot of dwarf actors or little people actors were mad because they're like, we wanted a dwarf role and Peter Dinklage ruined it. I mean, there were a ton of little people actors that came out and they were raging about this, which is understandable. I mean, it's like, I mean, hell, I want that role. That'd be fun to do, right? You get to run around and get to, they let me probably use a table saw. I mean, all kinds of stuff. I'm just saying, you know, I don't get to do that in my house. But like all kinds of fun stuff. But my whole point is that have you seen, like, there was a still that they say is from the movie and it's the CGI dwarves with the real, like, human Snow White. It looks so dumb. We got to talk about this. Also, DeSantis versus Meet the Press over guns. And he stood his ground and was right. We're going to talk about that as well.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
I'm, like, bummed we didn't get into the aggressive guitar strumming with that song. Okay, so apparently doctors say that you've been blowing your nose wrong and they should shut up. Really? Is there? They said, yeah, you can like it. You should only blow one nostril at a time. Really? Says who? I do what I want. I do what I want. Just saying. They say it's supposed to be gently from one nostril at a time. Okay. Just let people do what they... Really? There's a thing. Yeah. So this guy who's dressed up as a banana tried to run away from the police. This actually should be a Florida man story. It's not, though. It was in Key West. A man dressed as a banana tried to slip out of police custody. He was caught peeing on a Key West sidewalk. He was flagged down at police who were looking for a white male in a banana costume. And they found him. He was peeing across from a row of porta potties. So, and he was Kyle Mortimer, 20, was taken. He's so drunk. He's just drunk and dressed as a banana. Goodness. All right, we got a lot more on the way. Stay with us. Bottom of the hour.
Elevate your commute, workouts, or downtime with the Dana Show podcast. Unleash the power of knowledge at your fingertips by following Dana on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, yeah, I don't think you would even need a red flag. If somebody has a mental involuntary commitment, an adjudication of that nature, that usually would go into the system, and that would be on a traditional background check. I mean, I believe in due process, so I don't believe in this idea, you know, that the government can just take someone's property and then go through due process later. But what I do believe is convicted felons and people that are mentally incompetent or mentally ill, I think that's been the law in pretty much every state and federally for quite some time. And you know, I believe in strong constitutional rights, but with that comes responsibility. And if you're somebody that is not, can't conduct themselves in society because of mental illness, then that absolutely should be taken into account.
Oh my gosh, that soundbite made me so happy. Whenever a politician says what you want them to say about Second Amendment rights, whenever an elected official says the correct thing, whenever they actually answer the red flag and they don't accept the flawed premise of the reporter, Oh. Wow. I just want to just enjoy that for a second. Welcome back to the show. Bottom of the third hour. This Halloween, I'm dressed as a goth cupcake. It's dressed as Wednesday Addams. I'm the only one here who's dressed up.
Yeah, you get us the memo.
I just figure, how long have you known me? How long have we known each other, Kane?
It's been a long time.
Here on the Dana Show, which you can listen coast to coast and stream and watch on 347 DirecTV, YouTube, Facebook. Kane, how long have we known each other?
A long time. It's been at least 10 years.
Is there literally ever a question of me not going at least 30% on Halloween?
Oh, yeah. No, you're more than 30%.
Oh, I'm like you really light this year because
like
I've been so busy.
130%. You're what you think is light, going light for Halloween is some other people's 100%. So.
Oh, if I got to do what I wanted to do.
Oh, yeah, no.
Sidebar. So you guys know what I wanted to do? You know, so one of my favorite places on earth, it is my Six Flags. It's my Silver Dollar City. It is my theme park. It's Costco. One of my favorite places in the world. If you said, Dana, what is a good night for you? It would end up with me getting a giant diet fountain drink and going to Costco and having a giant cart with my giant fountain drink and walking around and looking and just partaking in the experience that is mass quantities. I mean, I love that I can go. And if you want, you want a can of whipping cream because you're too damn lazy to make it yourself at home? How about three? And then they always got the food samples, right? It's so great. I mean, and then I didn't even get into the holiday decor. What? So Juan's first spotted it, and then I started stalking them. The giant, what are they, like 12 feet tall, I think? Something crazy tall skeletons. So what I wanted to do is, well, first off, I wanted to do like a Vlad Tepish kind of thing because Vlad Tepish is a hero. And I wanted to do like the severed heads on all my fence posts. And Chris was like, that might be a little bit too much. So I'm like, okay, can I just do like a whole herd of the giant skeletons a la Attack on Titan, if you watch anime, and just have like giant titans in my yard, giant titan skeletons for Halloween? Yeah. I mean, to me, that sounds like a great idea. And it was really hard to source it. And then my husband, who is like the rip to my Beth, was like, that might be a lot. So let's roll it back just a little bit. So I'm a werewolf, but I wanted like a whole, I mean, if I had my way, you wouldn't be able to walk near my house without some kind of animatronic something going off. And they have like really good ones. Like I want stuff that flies out of trees. I want stuff that looks like it's crawling out of the ground. You know, when we first started doing Halloween after we got our own house and we were adults and we moved out, we went a little overboard and no child wanted to come to our house because we had the fog machine and strobe lights and monsters and we of course dressed up and it was like too crazy. And then when our kids were raised in this, so nothing was ever too crazy for them. Like they love zombies and monsters and all this stuff. It's just, you know, how we do. And I mean, my youngest son used to dress up as the Grim Reaper. He took his cousin's graduation robe and he begged for a plastic scythe from Target when he was like 4 years old. And, you know, even during Christmas, he'd wanted to run around as the Grim Reaper. I don't know. We just did it. And so they were raised in this. So we never really had a beat on what was too scary. You know, so we were that house, but I always did give big candy so the kids would brave it. I like to think that we helped the kids develop character because they had to brave the craziness that we had and to come get the big candy bars. So anyway, it's just, but I wanted that, Kane, you know, to get back to my original point. I wanted a giant Attack on Titan army of skeletons in my yard, all individually lit.
That's a large idea that takes more than a month or two just to create.
I literally have it all constructed. It's the only time I've ever been interested in engineering. I have it all figured out in my head how this would work and not blow over in the Texas fall wind. I'm really proud of myself. So guys, maybe. But you know, the other idea that I had, that's not the big idea, Kane. Wow. The big idea? Are you guys ready for this?
Wait, that wasn't the big idea?
No, that is like the small, like, meh idea. Boy. Okay, so here's a big idea, right? Okay, here it is. Imagine this, like somebody's yard, but it's like a skeleton Armageddon scene. The forces of good fighting the forces of evil. Yes, that's what I want in my front yard for Halloween, right? That's what I want.
In addition to the Attack on Titans?
Yeah, they'd be a part of it.
Wow.
Yeah. Oh, I know. I am jealous of my imaginary yard in my head. It's that great.
A lot of bones for...
Yes, I have no... And Chris is like, Dana, where are we going to put this? Are you nuts? Where are we putting this at? I'm like, I don't know. But how amazing would that be? Like, you could make it look like a Renaissance painting. It would be so cool. But you would have, like, the good versus the evil. And maybe we could get, you know, maybe I could get, like, a truck to dump some dirt in. And I could just, like, you know, make a hill where they're charging to that. I don't know. Like, I have all these grand ideas that I just, you know, just for that. Right? Now, that's the big idea, Kane. And it would all have to be artfully and individually lit. Because lighting's a big, you know, you guys get it. Lighting's a big part of this. Just, you know, people listening to me are going, she's nuts. No, welcome. Hi, I'm Dana. This is welcome to my mind. This is the kind of stuff that I ask Chris about at night as he's literally right in the embrace of sleep. He's right there teetering on the edge. And he's bringing something in. And I'll be like, how can I make a realistic flame look like, you know, it's 6 feet tall from the road? And he's just like, the hell is wrong with you? Why are you doing this?
I've got to get up early.
Yeah. Bring it in here. You people who are not watching the simulcast, which just is a little. So this is one of the, this guy's not even realistic looking.
No,
he's not at all. I don't find this to be scary. He's not even, you got to lower it. There he is. My friend. He's not even realistic looking, are you? But we have all kinds of these things all over the house. Kane, I have a little, yes. Don't I have like an arm eating person? I have like a dead, all kinds
you've
of dead
got
things.
The candles, you've got it all. As a matter of fact, I think one year for Christmas I got you the tin that you can make like skull.
I have it, and I've used it
like
religiously.
Skull cupcakes with,
cupcake. Yeah, I've made those, and you can also do Jell-O mold.
Right, see.
Just saying, do Jell-O molds as well. So you know, we got a lot of stuff happening.
Happy
here.
Halloween, everybody!
Yeah, happy. We take it because you know what? You need to have fun. And you need to be whimsical. I like the whimsy. Now, don't think that I, you know, don't misunderstand me about my love for Jesus' birthday, our Lord and Savior, because. So here's my other big idea. And then I'm going to get to the other stuff. We got a lot of other stuff to hit. I'm sorry, but, you know, just indulge me for a minute. I gave myself fake bangs today for you people. So the other thing that I want to do is I want a giant nativity. My husband also makes fun of the way I say it. I can't help it. It's the Ozark way, and it is the correct way. Pillow and milk are also appropriate. So I have to say, too, I want a giant nativity. I have no idea where I would put it. But when I say giant, I mean like human-sized. Although an Attack on Titan nativity would be amazing. But Kane, I don't know how you find them or where, because the ones that I've seen that are not $11 trillion, half of the national debt, they are smaller and they're not, they just, if they're, you need to either have them small or life-size. Anything else is weird. I'm like, are there munchkins in the yard? Like, what's happening? It's odd. Although that's actually an idea I haven't had yet. Just like go straight up munchkins. Like if you can find life-size munchkins from Wizard of Oz and dress them up. But then that's like weird. Anyway, my whole point is that that's the thing I would like. A life-size. Like I have, again, storage. No idea where I'd put these things. Maybe they would just stay out there all year. I don't know. No. Why not? No. They could stay out there. I could put pilgrim hats on them and they're
grass
for Thanksgiving.
Grass doesn't grow under the shade of bones. You can't
not as bones, like a nativity.
Well,
but the Titans, yes, that would be
Titans,
interesting. Just
can't
leave
that
them up.
Out all year. That would be funny.
Why? Some people leave their Christmas lights out all year for ambiance.
You want? So, describe the scene of all the skeletons. That
well,
you want
like
in the
my
yard?
Dream scenario, yeah. Or just like the basic.
What the heck was that?
I have no clue.
Just the scene. Obviously, the Attack on Titans is 12-foot skeletons, you know, like scaling the house, doing
I want an Armageddon scene. Thing.
Yeah,
that's, where it's good versus evil. Maybe throw a trebuchet in there with a specially lit skull that looks like it's on fire. You know, like have like, you know, all that kind of stuff happening.
12 months out of the year.
Well, I mean, for Halloween, that'd be great.
Right. But you can't keep it in your yard is what I'm saying.
I mean, I don't have HOA.
I don't know if that's the point.
I'm just saying. Yards are boring. I am 12. Anyway, everyone's like, Dana, if you're just, it's my show, I do what I want. Kids, come on. All right, so I did have like, you know, can we talk about the Snow White stuff real quick? So that one chick, the Rachel Zegler chick, I don't know if y'all seen this. So she, first off, let's go back to when Peter Dinklage was complaining about Snow White. And he was like, oh my gosh, I can't believe they're doing this where they have dwarves. And it's, you know, and then he got blamed for costing all these like little people, because officially it's little people, but the role was a dwarf. These jobs that they, because there were a lot of actors that were blasting him for it. They're like, you're not king little person. Anyway, so then they had the Rachel Zegler chick who was just bad. She was supposed to be Snow White and Gal Gadot was supposed to be the evil, ugly queen. Are you serious? Anyway, so Zegler was like complaining about Snow White and saying that it was an old, stupid film and all this other stuff, and that the prince was a stalker. And they showed the cast of the seven magical creatures who were supposed to be the politically correct placement for dwarves. And they look like, well, they look like stoners who work in the stock room at GameStop. I don't know how else to put it. That's like legit what they look like. And so they replace them with these horribly done CGI dwarves. And I don't know if you guys have seen the still that they released. Apparently, it's a new publicity picture that Disney revealed. Apparently, they're redoing the reshooting a whole bunch of things, because it sounds like they saw that this is going to be a multi-million-dollar turkey, and that it was way woke, and so they I guess replaced the lame seven magical creatures who look like they shop exclusively at Free People and smoke pot while stocking stuff in the back rooms of GameStop. So they revealed this publicity picture that features these horribly done CGI dwarves. And by horribly done, I mean it looks ridiculous. Kane, weigh in on this, because those dwarves look mad stupid.
Yeah.
Seven CGI dwarves.
So who is the guy that was being blamed for all the actors in Hollywood?
Peter Dinklage.
Juan's
showing everyone. That's officially from Disney. That's their publicity picture that they released. He's showing you on the simulcast. That looks horrible. Why don't they just replace her at this point, too? She's annoying as hell. I'd rather have like seven little people and a fake Snow White at this point. She is annoying.
So I don't understand why they just didn't have this idea from the beginning. Why? Because this wasn't
because
the animation.
Woke turns everything to feces. That's why.
Yeah.
Because they it's annoying. Why don't they just put little people in? They would be way better than these stupid CGI dwarves. You know it's going to suck. You know this is going to be horrible. It already looks dumb. If I didn't know anything about this film, first off, I would be like, this looks dumb. And then if I heard her talk, I'd be like, wow, I really hate this now. I don't want to go and hear the worst theater brat caricature ever sit here who complained about Snow White all leading up to it and every promo that she did. Now, no, I don't want to do this. So I don't know. I mean, I just don't know how you can get Snow White wrong. How do you get it wrong? That's the how?
Intentionally.
Like she said, she assumed some point she was like, you know what? I mean, we're not going to, she's not looking for love. She's not, well, then that's not the story. Go and make your own stupid woke princess story. This is so annoying. I hate when chicks try to sit here and askew like feminist traditions because they think it makes them look harder. It just makes you look desperate and try hard.
Follow Dana on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts, because knowledge is your ultimate superpower.
Now, I know that I need to give Kane his time for today in stupidity, but I just wanted to tell you really quickly, if you want to teach kids about Democrat economic policy, go ahead and take half of their candy and give it to people who didn't even dress up. Or the kid who made the least amount of effort, give them the most candy out of someone else's candy bucket. And then say, this is why you don't vote Democrat.
That's how you get them to realize socialism. There you go. And communism, and how bad it both are.
Yes. All right, King. All
right. Well, it's we don't have time because we have to actually get out of this this break. But Biden apparently heard himself in an AI-generated clip and asked, when the hell did I say that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Didn't, yeah.
I feel for him.
Have a safe All Hallows' Eve, folks. I'll be back behind the mic with you tomorrow.